the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, welcome in to the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, coming to you today from Athens, Georgia, where the Wildcats will play the Bulldogs tonight. Second road game in conference play for Kentucky. First one didn't go so well, so we'll see if Kentucky can take care of business tonight. And this is a Georgia team that has been in and out lately. They got thumped by 46 by Tennessee, lost by 15 to Auburn. In between, handled Vanderbilt easily. They beat a pretty good Arizona State team here back in December. For Kentucky, getting off to a good start wouldn't be a bad place to start, given that they've been down double digits in the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game in the last two contests, 10-0 to A&M, and then I think it was 16 to 4 maybe early against Vanderbilt on Saturday. So we'll talk about the game with Scott Howard, who's the radio voice of the Georgia Bulldogs, with Larry Vaught and with Jeff Drummond from Cats Illustrated, and if time permits, an interview with Damian Fishback, who worked the game last Saturday between Kentucky and Vandy. The guest lineup's always presented by Sleep Outfitters here on the show. Our Wildcat news of the day, that's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. One of the interesting angles to this game is the homecoming for Ashton Hagans. He's from Georgia and actually was headed to Georgia until Mark Fox was released as coach. And John Calipari yesterday talked about that. He brought up the contention that Kentucky stole him away from Georgia. He said if Mark Fox was still the coach, he'd be at Georgia. Ashton would. But when they changed coaches, Cal said that the family reached out to Kentucky to see if they'd be interested. They were, and it's worked out quite well for both Ashton and the Wildcats. And Cal used Hagans as an example of players not focusing on stats and just following their roles. Ashton was named SEC Freshman of the Week yesterday, even though he had 5 turnovers in the game last Saturday. He has scored 4 straight double-figure games, so he's looking for his offense more, which was a thing they were really pushing him to do. I remember back as far as the Bahamas. He's running the team well and obviously is outstanding defensively. So coming back home, he'll have a lot of family and friends here. And Cal notes that sometimes that is a problem for guys. Other times it makes them play better. So we'll see how it goes for Hagans tonight. He also talked, Cal did, about giving Hagans more freedom to go for steals than his players normally have, because Hagans is really good at it. Reed Travis talked to the reporters yesterday. Said he's not worried about his recent scoring dip. He's coming off a season-low 5-point game. The previous game, he tied his season-low with 6 against A&M. And part of this has to be the way teams have maybe focused their defense on him since that 20-point game against North Carolina. But he's not getting to the free-throw line is the biggest. If you just look at the stats, if forget how teams are playing him or you know what he's doing. If you just look at the raw numbers, one thing that he's not doing is getting to the free throw line. And he, at this point, even without shooting many, I think it's 5 in the last 4 games, he's been to the line more than anybody else. So that was a big part of his game through that long stretch where he was scoring very well. Rankings, Kentucky's up to number 12 in the AP poll, 14 in the coaches poll. I think 7 teams above them lost last week. So even though Kentucky didn't look great, it was an opportunity to move up, and they took advantage of it by winning on Saturday. And if you could get 2 this week, you'll probably be back in the top 10, because one of them obviously would be at Auburn. Scores last night, Duke lost. Number 1 team in the country goes down at home. This is now, I think, 4 teams in the last 3 days, 4 days that lost to unranked teams at home. In other words, on their own home floor, Duke. Was the most recent last night. Syracuse beat him in overtime, 95-91. To be fair, Trey Jones was injured early in this game, and Cam Reddish was out sick. Florida State lost to Pittsburgh 75-62, so maybe a little hangover for the Seminoles. Kansas, who will be coming into Rupp Arena later this month, hang on to beat Texas 80-78. Jayhawks trying to make their way without Yudoka Azubuike, and got a freshman big man who gave them some good minutes last night. So Kansas, I was glad to see that, actually. Some of you may have been rooting for Kansas to lose. I want to see Kansas win out until they play Kentucky, because Kentucky, if a win at home over Kansas would be a big step toward getting that one or two seed that I think everybody in the Big Blue Nation wants to see Kentucky have, so that, among other things, they could get perhaps a chance to be placed in the South region and be in the Yum Center for Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games, should they happen. And I was just doing a little looking at that last night as I was watching the Duke game. Duke, Virginia, Tennessee, at the moment, I mean, we're a long way out, but you can speculate, those would be the teams you would think would be the prime contenders at the moment for the top seed in the South. Obviously, if Tennessee gets it, Kentucky got no chance to be the two. If one of the ACC teams gets placed there, then Kentucky has, I would think, a decent chance to be the two. The best ACC team is going to be going to the East to play in D.C. But so would Tennessee then, would the SEC champ be the number one in the South? Could be. And that's where it would be up to Kentucky to take care of business against the Vols and win the SEC. And if you look at schedules, that's going to be difficult to do. But you got to look ahead. I think those are a few of the scenarios that you look at right now. Couple of months out. Got to get to a break. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. You can find them in Palomar and in Hamburg. Big thank you to all of you who helped out with their holiday food drive, where they collected back food to go in backpacks for needy families. All of you that came by and donated. So go by and celebrate with a breakfast, brunch, or lunch today at Wild Eggs in Lexington. We'll be right back with Scott Howard of the Georgia Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
We go to the Kentucky Brandon Hotline. Bring on Scott Howard from University of Georgia Radio Network to talk about Kentucky's matchup with the Dogs tonight here in Athens. Scott, Georgia certainly, it seems like of late, has been a little in and out with a good win over Vanderbilt in between losses to two very good Tennessee and Auburn teams. What are the Dogs been doing well? What have they been struggling at?
Well, I think they're still trying to find first of all, good morning, Tom. How are you?
Yes.
I think they're trying to find their way under a new coach and a new system. And, you know, we've seen some flashes with Georgia this year where they played really well. And then we've seen a couple of games where we haven't, as in the case at Knoxville when Georgia just got steamrolled by a terrific Tennessee team. And, you know, we played okay against Auburn. Auburn is just in a different place than Georgia is right now, and their guards are really superior to what Georgia has at this point. And they were able to control the game and never relinquished a double-digit lead in the second half last Saturday over in Auburn. But Georgia's big men, I think, are playing well. They're doing a lot of good things with Nicholas Claxton, Derek Ogbede, who's been, if he can stay out of foul trouble, he can be a difference maker. Rayshon Hammonds is still developing and has shown flashes of being the type of player that Georgia thought he would be when they recruited him. But he's also, you know, gone away a couple of times. He gets frustrated with himself, and he kind of goes inward, and Tom Crean's trying to develop that and bring him out and show him that he has confidence in him, and that, you know, he can be a much better player than he shows sometimes.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Back into the show, and apologize for a little technical issue there, but hopefully we've got that worked out. Scott Howard's with us on the Kentucky Brandon Hotline talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, Kentucky's opponent tonight here in Athens. Scott's the radio play-by-play voice for the Dogs. You're talking about Claxton, I believe, when we went to a break. I know he had six blocks on Saturday. The interior defense seems like that's been one of the strengths for Georgia.
Yeah, Tom, I think that's correct. Georgia's blocked a lot of shots. They're among the best in the country in that category. They do play good defense in the paint, and Claxton's a big reason for that. He's a very long, rangy guy, and you know, he blocks a lot of shots. You know, we see this a lot during our games. A guy will go past Claxton, but Claxton is kind of letting him go by to give him you know, false sense of security, and then when he tries to lay it up or he shoots, you know, Claxton's got such long reach, he'll block the shot or deflect it from behind. So he's kind of got two different ways of playing defense. You know, so he's been Georgia's best player so far this season, and he's quite frankly a fun guy to watch. He does a little bit of everything. He leads the team and practically every category, including assists and steals, blocks, rebounds. I mean, he does a little bit of everything.
Other than the 50-point game against Tennessee, they've scored well. 82 against Vandy, 78 in the loss to Auburn, 91 on UMass, 81 on Oakland, 92 Texas Southern. So they're playing at a pretty quick tempo?
Trying to. That's Tom Crean's method. You know, he would like this team to be a better shooting team. They shoot a lot of threes. I mean, that's where he's headed with this group. A lot of tempo, fast-paced team, shoot a lot of threes, hopefully make a lot of threes. That's kind of where he wants this team to go. But, you know, we'll see if this team is able to get there this year. But, yeah, they definitely like to play with tempo. They're not really a slow-it-down half-court team. They don't like that at all. So, you know, as best they can, they play and score at a rapid rate.
How are the Georgia fans connected with Coach Crean?
Terrific. It's been outstanding. You know, he has really promoted the program since he got the job last year in late March, I think, is when he was hired. And he basically, you know, in between recruiting visits, he was on a promotional campaign for Georgia basketball to try to get people to come out and see this product, and he's had a lot of success with that, with the promotions department at the school and all of those sort of things combined. I mean, they sold out the next six games, which is kind of an oddity for Georgia basketball. That over the years, you know, we haven't had a whole lot of sellouts, but the next six straight, starting with tonight, are all sold out for the home games, and we've already had a couple this season. So people like the brand of basketball that they feel like is coming here, and they've really taken to Coach Crean.
Scott, I appreciate the time, and see you tonight down at the arena.
Sounds good, Tom. We'll have the phone lines fixed and ready for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Scott Howard from the Georgia Radio Network, and Georgia 9-6, 1-2 in league play. We're heading to a break. When we come back, we'll check in with Larry Vaught. A little later, Jeff Drummond from Cats Illustrated. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. In the interim, while we're connecting with Larry, let me tell you, congratulations go out to three guys who were honored yesterday. Two of them were actually on our show. We should have had Kent Taylor on the show as well. We could have hit the trifecta yesterday, because Kent Spencer of WHAS-TV, John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader, the two guys who were on the show yesterday, and Kent Taylor from Wave TV in Louisville, they were honored yesterday for the National Sports Media Association. Kent, the co-winners of the Kentucky Sportscaster of the Year Award, and John Clay named the Sports Writer of the Year Award. So congratulations to all of those guys. All right, Larry Vaught joins us now to talk a little Kentucky basketball on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. Larry, you're where, in Pigeon Forge, you tell me?
Yes, I'm at the Margaritaville Resort in Pigeon Forge down here doing a little work for them for the few days, and it's a wonderful place, Tom. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to stay here, but if not, you ought to come sometime.
I've been in Pigeon Forge, but not been there. We were up, way up in the mountains one time, but that's right time of the year. That's pretty country.
It's a wonderful time of year to be here because it's not crowded. So that's why I really like it. And the scenery and everything is still just as gorgeous. They still have all their stuff from the Christmas season out in decoration. So you get all the benefits of everything, except it's not as crowded. The only downside, it's a little cooler than you can come at some other times. But at my age, I can handle that trade-off really, really well.
Let's talk about Kentucky as they head back out on the road here in SEC play. This is the kind of game that you can't afford many more slip-ups if you're Kentucky as far as your seeding on Selection Sunday. The Seton Hall loss, the Alabama loss, they're both unranked teams, but I was looking the other day in those net rankings, they're both in the quadrant one. So Kentucky's, all three of their losses have been what that term you'll hear a lot closer to Selection Sunday, they're all quadrant one losses. So no bad losses yet from a statistical standpoint for Kentucky. But you know, if you lose from here on out and you want to get a one or a two seed, it probably needs to be something like at Auburn, at Tennessee, something like that.
Yeah, I would agree, Tom. And I'm glad you understand all that quadrant talk because it kind of gets over my head. I think Seton Hall is a team that may well see an NCAA tournament.
Oh, that'd be right.
Because obviously Duke is going to be. Alabama, I thought, had a chance. Their last two games have kind of set them back some. But again, you're to the point now you need to win games and win a lot of games to be a high seed like what Kentucky would like to be. I mean, at least you want to try to hang in there where you could be a three seed, I would think. And again, you've got to win some games, you've got some opportunities, but you can't let one like tonight at Georgia get away from you if you want to do something like that. And then if you could win both games this week, then you really add to your resume. But I imagine that Super Bowl atmosphere that John talks about a lot, you're going to see that Super Bowl times 10 Saturday with Auburn, because I think that's really going to be a huge, huge game for them, and playing there, that's going to be a tough one for Kentucky.
No, you're absolutely right. And tonight, Scott Howard was just on with us. He said it's the first Tom Crean has really gotten out and aggressively promoted, and this is the first of six straight sellouts for them. So Georgia fans are a little excited too.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Georgia didn't sell out that often until I was reading some of their game notes. And to see that this game and the Florida game both sold out, what, months ago, which is something that Georgia had never done. So say what you want about Tom Crean, but he certainly has done something to energize the fan base. Now, if he can do it the same with his team, we will see. But they have been, I think, better than a lot of people expected this year. I don't think they can match up with Kentucky, with Kentucky as its A game tonight, but as we've seen, there's been some cases, including some last week, where Kentucky didn't have its A game.
True. Larry Vaught's with us. We'll be right back with more on the Lunch Report Radio Network.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
26 away from the top of the hour. Just got a text from Mike Pratt during the break. That was good to see. Glad he's doing well, all going well. He had a medical procedure yesterday and going exceptionally well for him to be up and texting. So plan to see him back at courtside next week when the Cats take on Mississippi State. The two games this week, Tony Delk going to be driving over from Atlanta to work with us tonight on the broadcast here in Athens and down at Auburn on Saturday. Joining us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline is Larry Vaught. It's going to be an interesting night for Ashton Hagans. Larry, with all the family and friends that will no doubt be here, and sometimes guys handle that well, and like Chris Lofton did when he came into Rupp Arena, and sometimes they struggle.
They don't. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting night for you, too. You sound like you put in a pretty good replacement there for Mike Pratt. That's good coaching, Tom.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to use your bench, and we got a strong bench.
Yeah, you sure do. But yeah, I think Ashton, again, could be wrong because you never know how, but I think Ashton's one of those guys who will handle this really well because I think his game is not built on a lot of – and I don't want this to sound wrong, it's not built on a lot of finesse. His is just get out and get after you and go. So I don't think you have to worry about his shot being off from 3-point range or something like that. He just plays with such an aggressive nature. I can't imagine especially being back in his home state, that would bother him, unless he's just too amped up and would make a couple of silly fouls or something early. That would be my only worry with him, that maybe that would happen. But other than that, I just think Ashton's game is built to where he's going to be pretty solid night in and night out, because it seems like that's the only way he plays. It's just all out, and that's what you really need.
Mark Stoops has got to look at Ashton Hagans and all those cornerbacks that he's losing and think Hagans would look great in the secondary.
Yeah, yeah, and again, Ashton apparently was a really good football player growing up, but just didn't really love the contact, which you can't really, I guess, blame the guy for, and thought he was just better suited for the basketball court, and that's worked out pretty well for him too. But again, yeah, you look at him, and I think Ashton Hagans could play any sport that you wanted to give it, let him go play. I mean, he just is incredible out there, and the way he's handled things on defense right now, I think, what, 22 steals in the last five games, and he's certainly on pace to put himself up in the UK record book. Maybe not the top steals guy, but going to really move into there. And I was just looking the other day, I didn't realize that number five on the all-time single-season steals list of Kentucky is a guy named Kyle Macy.
Yeah, how about that? 79. And, you know, yeah. And sometimes, and Cal talked a little bit about this yesterday, that he's given Ashton more freedom to go for steals than he normally does. He doesn't like guys to gamble a lot. But I think there's two things. Number one, Ashton's very good at it. And number two, they haven't had the, you know, if they could get Nick Richards playing the way consistently they'd like him to and give him some more protection of the rim, he might be less inclined, Cal, to let guys gamble out on the perimeter. But if you're not getting that, then I think that probably fuels a little bit of that interest in being more aggressive. And that probably was the case with Joe and Kyle. Is that 79 team, they lost all their big guys. So sometimes it's circumstances.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking it was more like that Kyle and Ashton had about the same type of quickness.
Yes. Well, it could be that too. You could be onto something there.
But yeah, that's a really good point about Cal and not having a rim protector. But I think now, with the way that Ashton has played, I think even if Nick Richards would blossom and start doing the things that John wants him to do, and it seems like Nick is slowly getting there, I think you still have to turn Ashton kind of loose on the outside like that, because he's shown how good he can be. So I think when Billy Kennedy last week was talking about this, how disruptive he can be to a team, I think that's something we're going to hear more and more and more as the season goes on, because I think no matter who Kentucky plays, Ashton has that ability to just really disrupt people out front.
And Ashton's a good lesson in terms of look at where he was at the start of the season. Think back to that Duke game and how Kentucky got dominated at the point in that game, and they just really looked like they didn't have a point guard. And look where Ashton Hagans is now. And now in two more months, not only where could he be, where could other guys be in two more months of development?
Yeah, and I don't think many people ever doubted Ashton's defensive ability. I think a lot wondered about what he could do for you on offense. And I'm not one of these – I mean, I know John keeps telling us how well he can shoot from outside. Of course, the game against Texas A&M, where he went 10 for 11 at the foul line, shows he can certainly handle that up, but I'm just not sure he's ever going to be like a 40% three-point shooter. But what I like is it seems to me that Ashton understands his role really well and doesn't very often take a bad shot. He may take one out there when he's open and then figure out that he was probably open for a reason. Then he just kind of shuts that down and goes back to getting the ball inside, scoring on the break, passing to teammates. And I really like that he hasn't let scoring totals kind of impact the way he plays, because he understands what he does best to get those scoring totals. And I think as long as he does that, he's going to be really, really good. And I think, too, Emmanuel Quickley is really getting better game for game. Getting better. So it's really giving you a potent combination of how you want to use those guys, or you can play them together, and they really give you some things. So I think the way that both of them improve really bode well for the future for Kentucky.
Now, Quickley seems to – his confidence seems to be soaring right now.
Yeah, I've always thought Emmanuel was a much better player than a lot of people at Kentucky seem to, or a lot of Kentucky fans want to give him credit for being. He's – he's kind of a little bit of an unassuming guy, not real emotional, kind of keeps himself under control, but I think he's a little bit better defender. He's not Ashton Hagans, but I don't know anybody else in the SEC is, but I think he's a pretty solid defender. He's not a 45% three-point shooter, but he can certainly knock down shots for you there, and he can get out and run and do different things. So I think he's feeling more and more comfortable. And again, I think he's a guy that's going to do everything he can to fill the role that John Calipari wants him to. And I think we're seeing him just loosen up and play a little more instead of just trying to think so much. I think that has really helped Emmanuel. I think going against Ashton day in and day out in practice has probably really helped him too, because if you go against Ashton every day, I would think when you get to a game, you think that guy guarding is not quite that tough.
Very, very true. I was watching that Syracuse-Duke game last night. Syracuse has a big guy that doesn't score much, but he had like 18 rebounds and gave him a defensive presence in the paint. And just watching that game, I thought that's what they're looking for Nick Richards to be. Maybe not for 30 minutes a game, but for, and Cal's talked about 18 or, you know, 20 at times, to be a guy that just runs the floor, get put back dunks, challenge shots, hustle and rebound well, and just be an energy guy. And, you know, Nick was some of that the other night. We see flashes. So if you can ever get it sustained, you could have something special.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what our buddy Mike Pratt was talking to me about before the season started, that he thought Nick was the most important guy on this team for the reasons you just said. Not that he had to score 10 points a game, but if he could just do all those other things and then, you know, put back a couple baskets, get 4 or 6 points a game, but then, you know, pull off the boards, not necessarily have to block shots, but just alter shots or alter the thought of coming inside to where he might block shots and just be that energy guy. And I thought that second game when he got, what, the 18 rebounds, I thought, well, Pratt knows exactly what he's talking about. This is what it's going to be like. And then, you know, Nick's never quite got back to that, but these last 3 or 4 games, he's been playing about 10 minutes a game, and he's showing signs of getting to that. And again, there's no reason to think he couldn't do that, because John's not asking him to do anything out of his natural abilities right there. And I know it's been puzzling to most Kentucky fans, and I'm sure to John Calipari, why Nick doesn't do that more. But again, if he can do that, the next 2 months can get a whole lot better for Kentucky.
And make himself a boatload of money, because NBA scouts love a guy that's that size, that's that mobile, if he can just bring it with some consistency.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason he can't be just like what Willie Cauley-Stein was. I mean,
yeah.
Willie was never a great shooter or anything like that, but Willie was constant energy, and it took a lot of pride and being able to stop other people and go get the ball. I think Nick, if he can just kind of get some of that meanness or toughness, or maybe they need to let him hang out with Ashton Hagans 24/7 or something like that. Maybe Ashton can put it into him. But if he can just get some of that, I mean, he's still the guy that I think could really change his team around.
Larry, appreciate the time. Safe travels back from Pigeon Forge.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
It's Larry Vaught on the Kentucky Brandon Hotline here on the Leach Report. You can read him at Vaught's Views and also at LAXVaughtsViews.com, LAX18. com. Jeff Drummond, when we come right back, it's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
See a tweet from Chris Lowe of ESPN. It says, T. Martin, one-time Kentucky assistant coach, is headed back to his alma mater, quarterback Tennessee, to a national championship 20 years ago, and he is coming back. It says contract details and title are still being finalized. He's been at Southern Cal in recent years. Joining us now on the Kentucky Brandon Hotline is Jeff Drummond from Cats Illustrated. Jeff, one of the guys who talked to the media yesterday was Reed Travis, and not surprisingly was asked about his recent, you can call it a slump, dip in scoring, whatever, but he is coming off back-to-back single-digit games, season lows, not getting to the free-throw line much. What do you see as far as what Reed needs to do to get back on track?
Yeah, interesting response from Reed when asked that question, is kind of expected from him. The more and more we've been around him since he got here, says that he thinks it's just one of those things, you know, in basketball that you run into kind of from time to time. And I would chalk up maybe this last game for him to more of a maybe a team issue with facing that zone defense that Vanderbilt sat in for, you know, all 40 minutes of that game. And they really struggled to get the ball, I think, to Reed in positions where he could take advantage of his strengths. And if they do a little bit better job of that against Georgia, you know, seeing when they see zone there, I think he's going to bounce back pretty strong. He's got a great attitude, and I don't think it's going to bother him too much that these last two games haven't been really up to par.
Kentucky has shown an adaptability of late, really since that Carolina game. There's been a lot of focus on P.J. Washington, Reed Travis. I think Vandy was determined not to let those guys get going. But the perimeter guys have been able to pick up the slack, now, although different guys from game to game. Tell you what, Shannon, try to reconnect with Jeff. There's something going on there with the phone line, so try to just do a reconnection. We'll see if that does the trick. In the meantime, let me point out a tweet from Kyle Tucker, who will most likely be with us next Monday. This was about Cal yesterday was asked about Ashton Hagen's flipping to Kentucky, and it's a notion, the word flipping, that Cal bristled at a bit. And Cal made the point that the reason Ashton, it appears, because Georgia fired its coach. And Kyle puts out a note from a conversation he had with Ashton's dad, who said they called Kentucky, and the first response that they got from Joel Justice, the assistant coach, was that Kentucky wasn't interested if Ashton was still committed to Georgia, or still committed to Georgia, and that Mark Fox was there, and that they couldn't do that, and that Ashton's dad was calling to tell him that Mark Fox had been fired, and so that's why Ashton wanted to change his mind, in which case Kentucky was interested if Mark Fox was no longer in the picture. But if Mark Fox had stayed, they'd be playing against Ashton Hagens tonight instead of with him. All right, Jeff Drummond's back with us now, and talk a little bit about Ashton Hagens there. But first, you were talking about the inside play of Reed Travis. I was saying that teams, I think, have been focusing on Reed and PJ since that Carolina game in particular, but the perimeter guys have been able to pick up the slack, mostly Hagens, but he got help from Quickly, got help from Hero in a couple of other games. So that's usually what Cal's teams are able to do, is beat you in more ways than one.
Yeah, and I think this team has a lot more options when it comes to that. And Quickly's a guy in particular, I think it's been impressive now for the last three or four games, and picking up more of that slack. And you've got to like his ability to knock down the open three-point shot. And if the Cats can keep getting that consistently, I think it's going to make it to where, you know, teams can't just focus on one or two guys as much.
Who do you think will improve the most between now and the tournaments in March, Jeff?
I'm sorry, Tommy, you're fading out on me pretty hard.
Who will make the most improvement, do you think, on this team between now and the tournaments in March?
Well, I think they hope that it might be Nick Richards. You know, in talking to Cal, and even when Joel Justice stood in for Cal at the previous press conference, I think the entire staff really believes that if they're going to be the best version of this Kentucky team, they need him to be disruptive on the defensive end of the floor, kind of like he was against Vanderbilt. I think he only got credited with one block shot, but from being down there in my photographer's spot under the basket, he was much more disruptive than that one block shot would indicate. And now if they just get his rebounding to kind of catch up and get up to speed too, they could be a much different team in March than they are right now.
Jeff, I appreciate the time. Folks can find you at catsillustrated.com, and we will see you, I guess, at RUP next week. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
That's Jeff Drummond. We are heading to a break. We'll come back. We're going to hear little post-game clip from Damian Fishback, the SEC Network analyst who worked the Vandy game last Saturday, when we come right back on the Leach Report Radio Network. Donato, slice of Wildcat history, couple of Wildcat birthdays. The Blonde Bomber, White Lightning, a couple of the nicknames for Jay Schuyler on that 78 championship team. Jay celebrating a birthday today. And a member of the Fabulous Five, Cliff Barker, was born on this day. Right now, let's hear from Damian Fishback, SEC Network analyst. He talked with our Chris LaBar briefly after the Cats win over Vandy on Saturday.
Kentucky, like Coach Cal said, had to go against basically 40 minutes of zone for a young basketball team. They probably hadn't done that before. And so I thought the ability for their defense to actually overcome some of their struggles offensively was impressive.
With the youth in the backcourt, how do you feel like they did against the zone?
They struggled. They're going to see a lot more zone, right? Yeah. If I was a head coach, I would plan on playing Kentucky zone until they prove me that they can score over 60 points, because my guess is going to be if I can hold a team as good as Kentucky to 50 or 56, then I give them a chance to win. And so I'm sure Coach Cal will have them prepared.
What do you make about PJ's struggles over the last three or four ball games?
For PJ, listen, it'll come. He's just got to take his time, be patient. I think he needs to dominate on the offensive glass, number one, and I think they have to focus on getting him the ball a little bit more. But against his own defense, the big guys are always the guys who suffer.
And real quick, Emmanuel, quickly, his growth, your impressions there?
He knows he has the job, right? So for Ashton Hagans and a guy like Emmanuel Quickly, they didn't know when they were going to play, if they were going to play, how much when Quade Green was there. Now they know they both have the job. They can do what they did in high school and get better.
What do you look for on the road this week?
Well, for Kentucky on the road against Georgia, I think it's going to be one of their biggest challenges because they have the length of Derek Ogbede, Rashawn Hammonds, and Nicholas Claxton that can match their length easily. I don't know if Tom Crean will play zone. My guess is that he will. And I think it's a Georgia team that's proven they play well at home. They just beat Vanderbilt by 20-plus points. It'll be a tough challenge.
So it's going to be an interesting battle for Kentucky's big guys, Reed in particular, who's had little struggles of late going up to get against the length of those Georgia big men tonight. But I think Damian makes a good point about Kentucky could do better, the guards, perimeter guys, at getting the ball to PJ and Reed in better position to do some damage with it. Cameron Mills going to fill in for me tomorrow, so I'll see you back on Thursday on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show, and be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com.